Hey everybody, and welcome to Authors and Dragons, where a group of comedic fantasy writers get together and try to make it through a whole game of Pathfinder without accidentally dying. Let's see if we pull it off this week. As always, the odds do not look great.
Hi, I'm John Hartness, and I'll be playing the role of Fandingo the Fantastical, the guitar-shredding, combat-avoiding bard. In real life, I write the Quincy Harker Demon Hunter series, the Black Knight Chronicles Urban Fantasy series, the Bubba the Monster Hunter comedic fantasy series, and my newest book, Amazing Grace, a Southern Gothic paranormal cozy mystery. I think I said all that right. Released last week. So go out there and buy some stuff. Thanks.
Hi, I'm Joseph Brassi. I play the role of Bjorg Bjornsson, the enthusiastic and violent barbarian who loves flower arrangements. I was an author on the Mongoliad Project, and my debut solo novel, Skyfarer, is currently out from Angry Robot Books, so go buy that shit.
Hi, my name is Rick Gualtieri, and I play Silas Kane / the Mysterious Arrow of the Gods. In real life, I write the Tome of Bill comedy horror series and many other books, including Bigfoot Hunters, Lycan Moon, and Midnight's Daughter. And my newest compilation will be the Tome of Bill box set volume 2, which should come out either about the time you're listening to this or maybe about a week after.
Hello, my name is Robert Bevan. I play the role of Klaus Richter, the notorious rogue. In real life, I write the Caverns and Creatures series of comedy, fantasy, lit RPG novels, and short stories, starting with the first book, Critical Failures.
Hi there, my name's Steve Weverell. I play Brandon Fymaster, Monk, and Master Fister. In real life, I write the comedy fantasy series, The Doomsayer Journeys.
I am Drew Hayes, first harbinger of the coming nightmares. In real life, I write books such as Superpowers, Fred the Vampire Accountant, Spelled Swords and Stealth series. And this week, we are being brought to you by Badly Flavored Vodka. It's October. Halloween's coming. You know you're going to drink it. Just buy some. I mean, who are you fooling? You're not going to spend more on good stuff. Stop lying. Stop lying to yourself. Anyway, when last we left our adventurers, they had gone through and fought some piss-covered bugs, some non-piss-covered bugs, and then stumbled into a tomb with torches along the wall that began to magically light up as they arrived.
Was I here for the last one? I can't remember.
You were.
Yes,
I was.
You killed many That's right. bugs.
That's right. Yes. No, I didn't. Lies.
Oh, that's right. You hurt many bugs, but Klaus killstole several of them.
I think just one.
Yes. Yes, you did.
You killstole more than just from Bjorg. Oh, you killstole from Rick, yeah. too.
I tried to killsteal a lot.
That's fair. You put in the effort.
Yeah.
Klaus is like that fantasy football running back who gets all the touchdowns and none of the yards. So both your fantasy football running backs suck. Says the guy who gets his ass kicked in fantasy football every week.
It's not often I get to say this, John, but nerd!
If that's the reason you're calling me nerd, then obviously you were really drunk the weekends that we did conventions to get. Oh, wait, you were really
I don't know,
drunk.
Man. I never did math at a convention.
All right. Enough of your geeky fantasy football. Let's get back to Dungeons & Dragons here.
Indeed.
The cool kids are doing.
So that looks like coffins.
God, man.
Actually, why don't we go ahead and do a round of perception checks.
All right.
Now we're talking.
Klaus Richter's specialty.
Fandango rolls a 25.
The Arrow of the Gods rolls a 16.
Bjorg rolls a 15.
Klaus Richter is struggling to find his character sheet. That doesn't bode well for his perception.
That means Bevan is not doing well at his perception.
But Brandon Fymaster rolls a 12.
Klaus Richter rolls a 9.
Okay, with that wide range of scores, we'll start at the bottom and work our way up. Klaus, you see torches and stones. and
holy shapes. Shit.
Yeah, it's cool. There's many shapes, 8 torches, 8 shapes, one big shape kind of right down the middle. And
well, I couldn't have possibly missed anything.
Yeah. Everyone else will notice that these are very clearly like tombs. They're big stone, you know, thing of New Orleans cemetery, and you're kind of picturing it, right?
Are there tourists pissing on the side?
There are not tourists pissing on the side. Although, you guys are here, and Klaus is with you, so self-fulfilling prophecy.
All right. There's no way he's got any piss left.
Yeah.
Drew, you keeping track of it?
Oh, you burned it all on the last one, but right. I wouldn't put it past you to camp here and drink water until you recharge.
Who drinks water?
Fair enough. There is one big...
Pissed me off. I took a spell that'll turn anything into water.
Oh, that's dangerous in this group.
That's like
anti-Jesus. That'll get you killed.
Just fighting words.
Yeah. There's the 8 smaller little tombs are about human sized. The one giant tomb that's on like a raised dais is just slightly larger. It would basically incorporate a large sized creature.
All right. Well, Arrow of the Gods. We'll walk up to the first
one. I'm
not
done.
Oh, okay.
Fandango, being the only one to clear 20, can see all the way in the back of the room. There are a set of stairs leading down. Now you may take action.
All right. Well, Arrow of the Gods will walk up to the first tomb and examine it.
There are no markings. There is no name. There's no images or faces. It's just smooth stone all the way around. And, like, there's dust. The lid is, like, really firmly on there. This has not been disturbed for a very long time.
Well, then disturb it.
Are you going to piss fast on the tomb? Is it Bourbon Street already?
Just so everybody knows, I'm out of big healing spells until I can sleep, take a nappy poo. So try not to get dead.
Okay, push the lid off.
We're all going to die.
Roll me a strength check.
Smarter to take these things on one at a time than for them to all pop to life when we walk past them.
That's the spirit.
Unfortunately, Arrow of the Gods is a little distracted right now, so he only rolls a 7.
The Arrow of the Gods lays his arms upon the lid and presses with all his might and thinks he might have given himself a hernia.
Well, if the Arrow of the Gods can't move it, certainly it'll be far too securely fastened for me. I'll be back here.
Brandon Fymaster is...
Bjorg is just going to stare at the Arrow of the Gods.
Brandon Fymaster...
Bjorg is just going to stare. Go ahead.
Brandon Fymaster is torn between his desire to impress the Arrow of the Gods and his desire not to piss about with dead people. I've got to take a moment of indecision there.
If regular people are icky, then certainly dead people are extra icky.
Well, dead people are losers. I don't want
Quitters, to be even.
Yeah. Lying there. I don't want to be associated with that.
That's fair.
Terrible skin.
Lying there, not doing any sit-ups.
Crunches.
Fandango's going to slowly start plucking out. There is
a house. Going to mosey over one of the other tombs and look and see if he can find see if he can find any markings or distinguish, you know, of worth noting on any of the other tombs, which is probably not because he can't read.
Okay, Bjorg, you are scanning a different crypt tomb thingy. Again, there is no markings, no words, not in any language. It's just smooth stone.
Okay, so there's no effigy on top, like on the map?
Mm-mm.
Okay, that's
nope, those were just what I could find.
Check.
Well, then how do we know they're tombs and not just stone boxes?
That's fair. Maybe that's they're the old version of Amazon. And, like, inside you're going to find some old toilet paper and bad candy.
In the North, we burned our bodies. We don't plant them in rock.
Do you really think there's a chance for there being toilet paper in there? Because that could be really good for this crew.
In the North, we burn our toilet paper.
Oh, God. Oh, the smell. Oh, that would be so terrible.
He is accurate.
Yeah, quite environmentally conscious.
That yes. Fits. Oh, no. He's extremely environmentally conscious. We need to become warmer.
And suddenly it's cold up smell there. Makes so much more sense.
That's not a smell. It's a musk.
Oh. It is musky.
Right. I'll do something I haven't done in a while, at least in a way, in any semblance that was useful. I'll detect.
Shut
the
up. Oh,
sorry. I walked right into that one.
You are attempting to detect evil. You do detect evil. It's very faint. It's very distant. It's like an echo of evil. There's a small amount coming sort of from within the boxes, and then there's more coming from the big old tomb at the top. But it's definitely it's not like evil as you usually sense it.
What's Bjorg's arm compass doing? Okay, that's the noise that Bjorg makes as he looks at it.
Just under his massive breath.
There's Curly.
Shut up! I'm looking at my arm needle.
Fandango transitions into Lynyrd Skynyrd's needle and the spoon.
What about Klaus? Is there any evil coming off of Klaus?
There shouldn't be.
Dude, that's not my question to answer, Klaus. That's you.
I'm chaotic neutral.
We might revisit that.
I'm the textbook definition of chaotic neutral.
You're all flirting with evil at the minimum.
Oh, no, we're totally chaotic stupid.
Bjorg always tries to help people.
Looking at what you have done so far, if you were intentionally doing most of it, you would be so far deep into evil. It's weirdly only your incompetence that it protects your integrity.
You know what makes it good? Is occasionally we apologize.
Says the one who never apologizes.
I did say occasionally.
But no, I'm trying. When have you guys ever apologized?
I've thought about occasion, it twice.
The occasion may not have arisen yet, but we're keeping our options open.
On a long enough timeline,
you eventually might either die apologize. Or apologize.
On a geological on a geologic scale, we feel remorse.
You know, there's a theory that says that all things and all points in time are happening at the same.
Quantum apology.
Yes. Quantum apology. Yes! You experience all apologies all at once. Then you feel miserable and you turn the device off.
Right.
I feel like we just got Silas' origin story. He had all his apologies in one go.
Hey, Klaus. Notorious rogue fella, buddy, pal. You want to see if any of these things are trapped?
They look like tombs to me. Maybe we should just not fuck with them.
People store money in tombs, bro.
Oh shit, that's true. All right, I will check for traps in one of them and see what happens.
All right, move your character to the one you're checking and give me a roll.
I'm going to go up to this one. And what is check for traps? What is
you're going to the same one as Silas.
As Arrow of the Gods.
Arrow of the Gods, sorry. I forgot you were wearing your hood.
Yeah, I feel pretty good about that one since he already kind of fucked with it. So.
I'm pretty sure he didn't do enough to it to spring any traps.
What skill is that under?
I believe we were doing perception.
Perception? Alright. Alright. Klaus rolls an 11.
Okay. You do not detect any traps.
It's clear. Silas, try it again.
Silas, what,
I know not this name. Arrow of the gods. whatever.
Gotta give it another try?
Klaus stands back.
That's one way to detect traps.
I'm going to detect traps with his face.
Well, if I can give it another try, I roll a 19 this time.
Silas, you dig your feet in, you brace yourself, and you really push. Like, you're giving it your all, and man, you feel like you're definitely doing enough to move a stone slab. So the fact that it's not budging is like, there must be some sort of, like, catch or mechanism or lock or seal. Like, something is actively resisting it. There's some sort of structure within it. So you feel like you definitely should have moved it. So now you're like, okay, there's more to this.
If only we had a rogue to figure this out.
You look stronger than you are.
Yeah, we don't have a rogue to open things. We just have a rogue to insult people. That's usually the only thing the bard's good at.
Well, and sometimes he triggers traps by walking into them.
Bjorg is just going to sit back and watch this, because honestly, he really has no burning desire to open the dead box.
Yeah, that's fair. No. That's a reasonable conclusion to draw.
Dead, they're dead, and they should be grateful. Let's not fuck with the grateful dead.
Da 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 da. Boo.
Well, if none of us can... Well, if you guys can't open the box, and most of us don't really want to open the box, we could just go to the stairs at the far end of the hall.
Do they go up or down?
Down.
What's a bigger box?
Does a check for... mechanisms to open a box differ from a check for traps?
You could use knowledge dungeoneering to try and figure it out. You've all searched this thing pretty well, and you have found no switches.
Okay.
Is there a torch on the wall behind each of the boxes?
Why, yes, there is. Even on the map like that.
So Fandingo will go over here and take a look at the torch on the wall.
Klaus takes a 5-foot step back.
the torch is it's very nice. It looks like it's made of stone rather than like just wood or anything. You did see them all kind of light as you entered. So it's clearly got some magical properties. There's some arcane symbols that are engraved in. I mean, that would be necessary for magical torches. And the base is a little bit strangely shaped. It's just a unique torch overall.
Yeah, well, I'll reach out and wiggle it and see if it pulls or clicks.
You may remove the torch.
Bjorg is going to move up to the next casket and look at it.
All right, I'll remove the torch.
You find, again, another smooth crypt. No markings, no nothing. It's just stone. Fandingo.
These dead boxes are boring.
Actually, everybody directly around Fandingo. So, Arrow of the Gods, Klaus, and Fandingo, roll me perceptions.
Klaus rolls a natural 1.
Fandingo rolls a 13.
Arrow of the Gods rolls a 16.
Klaus is busy trying to close his eyes and will his bladder to refill in hopes of pissing on something. It's not working, but by God, he's trying. He's trying so hard that he's not focusing on anything else. Fandingo and Silas. Well, Fandingo, you had the easier version, and then Heir of the Gods beat the higher DC. You both hear a small, almost inaudible click as you pull up the torch.
All right, give a shove again on the crypt.
Give me a strength check.
All right, let's see what we can get. Mighty Arrow of the Gods. Rolls a 5.
You are not able to budge the lid. Although this time you think it's probably not some mechanism, and more that you're just not really even getting the stone in a good grip.
Klaus says...
Fandango, stand way over here. I have a torch.
Bjorg is going to now approach the big grave.
One thing, Fandango, as soon as you have removed the torch, you notice the flame goes out.
Huh. All
right, go ahead, Bjorg. You're heading toward the big grave thing.
Yeah, he's got an intellectual curiosity.
Okay. That sounds wise.
I think that's functionally impossible.
Go ahead and walk up to it and roll me a perception check.
All right. Because, you know, giant graves. I mean, this is a quaint, this is sort of a weird thing. It's like, you know, it's not something they do at home. They just, when it's their time to die, they set themselves on fire. okay. like a normal person. Bjorg goes a 13.
A 13 is enough to notice that there is some writing on the front of this one. What languages do you speak?
Bjorg speaks, probably common, his native language, and I don't think I picked the other ones. I don't think I probably just common in his native northern language.
Okay.
So
it is an unfamiliar language.
Okay. Well, Bjorg is gonna call over his shoulder. There's words on this one.
Call over to Brandon. Like, junior adventurer, you want to come here and give this a shove? My hands are kind of sweaty.
I can't read. Someone needs to help.
Let me see. Reading or flexing? Reading or flexing? Yep. I'm going to go over to the Arrow of the Gods. Sorry, Bjorg.
Klaus would like to move away. Over
I need
here.
Words.
Hey, Bjorg.
Yes?
Can you come back here in case people start trying to die?
But there's words here.
That words are my thing. Killing things is your thing.
All right, Brandon, give me your strength check.
Okay. Brandon rolls a 20.
Oh, that is more than enough. You grab that thing and you start shoving it aside. And just as you're starting to move it, something comes out. Not through the crack you've created, but rather through the stone itself.
Oh, no.
It is...
That's cheating.
Human-shaped... ish, and then sometimes it is undulating. It is semi-transparent and dark and very hard to make out. It looks like an animated shadow skulking through the air, and it will attack the... Oh, no, it will attack the Arrow of the Gods.
Klaus wanted to look at the Arrow of the Gods after Brandon moved the stone and say...
You may still do that as he's shifting the stone aside, but the shadow will reach for the Arrow of the Gods. Arrow of the Gods, what is your AC dexterity and magical enhancement only? So if you have, like, bracers or something to that effect. Armor does not count.
Okay, so taking away armor, then it would be a 16.
It pokes you. and your strength goes down by 1.
Boop.
As it sort of slashes wildly across you, and you feel yourself grow weaker at its touch.
Huh.
Man, he was weak enough.
Brandon Thymaster, because you have opened this tomb, you get to do some rolling.
Oh, nice. What kind of rolling?
Oh, the fun kind.
Oh. In the deep. Hey.
So, go ahead.
He has to do some rolling in the deep.
Makes sense.
Go ahead and roll me a D100.
D100. A 7.
Ooh.
That's not very good out of 100 score.
It's not great. It's really not great. Okay. So give me another D100.
Jesus Christ.
You find a rusty dagger.
Rusty dagger?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not even going to pick it up.
Indeed.
Better than a rusty trombone.
I'll need to roll me initiatives.
I see a rusty dagger.
I don't like jazz.
Hey, Klaus, there's a rusty dagger underneath this vengeful ghost.
Okay.
Should you want it?
I'll keep that in mind. Thanks.
All right, so what now? Initiative.
26 for Arrow the...
And for Bjorg... 19 for Bjorg.
Fandango rolled a 1. He's feeling a little sluggish.
Brandon Firemaster rolls a 4. He's still disappointed about the rusty dagger.
Klaus rolls a 12.
And I think that's everybody. Okay, cool. We will now be going in initiative order. Arrow of the Gods.
All right. Well, I will activate Smite Evil on this thing. Back up my 5-foot step. And then I will unload on it.
Okay.
All right. So it's Smite Evil. My attacks come in at +2. And if this thing is undead, they come in at +8 for damage. All right. So this will be coming... This will be... rapid, deadly, point blank, blah, 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 all that bullshit. Just got to find the right one. Bombo, rapid, deadly, point blank. Okay. And many shot and all that shit. All right. So the first one is 21 versus AC.
Okay.
Does that hit?
That will hit. I have a question for you, though.
Yes?
Is your bow or arrows magical?
I thought that Smite Evil made whatever you were carrying count as magical.
I just read through the description.
Oh, okay.
He's giving it. Once per day, a paladin calls the powers of good and evil. Swift action, they choose one target. Target is evil, the paladin adds charisma bonus to attack rolls and paladin level to damage rolls against target of the smite. If target of the smite is an outsider subtype, evil blood dragon, undead, the bonus damage first attacks increase. But basically, at no point does it say it turns a weapon magical.
Okay.
Then no.
Then your arrows shoot right through it.
For my second attack, I will pull out, you know, one of the not arrows of Toreg, because I obviously would not have one of those.
I was really wondering if you're about to give it all away.
But one of the magical arrows of some other god that I happen to have in my quiver.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Those are everywhere. Everyone has those.
An uncanny coincidence.
But since those don't exist any more than the arrows of Toreg, pretty much nothing. I pretty much just shoot an empty bow at it.
Pew.
Oh, Lord.
All gonna die.
Well, Bjorg. There's one little wispy shadow hanging around. With your perception check and you being up there, you now see the stairs at the back as well.
Oh, okay.
Although Fandango did tell you all about them.
Can he see, he sees Silas shooting and such, right?
Well, he sees the Arrow of the Gods firing
right.
Ineffectually, if that's what you're asking.
All right, well, Bjorg is going to approach. He's going to draw his sword as he approaches, because if they're shooting at it, well, even if, you know, they have probably more than likely given it ample reason to want to hurt them, he's probably going to have to save all of them or do something. So he's going to draw. Bjorg is going to draw his sword and charge.
That sounds like a very Bjorg thing to do.
Yeah.
It does. And I believe you can make that.
I don't know if I can get there.
Yeah.
Make that? Okay, cool. All right, let's...
Double your move speed, so assuming you have at least a 30, you're good.
He's got a... Yeah, his like move speed is like 40, so...
Yeah.
All right, so Bjorg's going to run up and take a swing at this thing, and his sword is magical, so... Let's see here. All right. And Bjorg rolls a 21.
A 21 will hit. Oh,
and
also,
15 damage.
Perfect. Now roll me a D100 and guess the number. High or low.
Okay. Just say high or low. High or low.
High or low before you roll it.
All right. Okay. High.
Okay.
78.
You have officially hit. A magic weapon does not guarantee you'll connect. It only gives you a 50% chance of it.
Okay.
But yeah, you hit, so you do 15 points of damage, and you have the magic of your sword slices through its magical body, and it's a little bit less... Actually, it's substantially less together and a little more blah, 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 blah. But it does still exist.
Bjorg is going to look over the top and just go, which one of you fucked with the Grateful Dead?
And it will... It is now the Shadow's turn, and it will continue to pursue the Arrow of the Gods. A 10 will fail even with that... without the armor, though. So it slashes, but this time Arrow of the Gods is ready. And just ducks out of the way, because it's a very easy one to miss. Klaus.
Alright, well, Klaus has got a big-ass axe. Klaus will move up. Is the creature not on the map? Just is
oh,
above,
it's
just
on
above
there.
The... Wait a second.
It's a shadow. You have to look for it.
It's on there. It's just very difficult to see.
All right, I'll step between Brandon and Silas and attack it with the axe.
All right, roll.
I have some. Klaus rolls a 25.
25 will hit.
So do I have to roll high or low?
You do not. Not with the axe.
Ooh, all right. Klaus does 3 damage.
Well, you hit easier, but you do substantially less, and it sort of flickers a little bit, but it is still around. Fandango, you are holding a now extinguished torch.
Fandango will drop said now extinguished torch and start playing the 1812 Overture. using Bardic performance to inspire competence. So, whatever the thing I do that makes people hit harder and better.
The +2 to attack and damage.
Inspire courage.
Sounds good.
Thoughts and prayers.
Oh,
jeez.
No, this actually has an effect.
My mistake.
Yeah.
We'll give everyone a +2 to morale bonuses as well.
Nice.
Well, Brandon Thymus.
I'm feeling better about our situation.
have you checked to see if your fists count as magical? That does happen for monks at a certain point.
I believe at this point I can burn a keystrike to make a magical unarmed attack. But my broom is now +1. Does that mean it's magical?
That does mean it's magical.
I have a magic broom. Yeah, I'm going to hit this thing.
It's going to march all on its own.
He's like, no! Asia. He's like Dick Van Dyke!
Chim chiminy, chim chiminy.
Yes!
Chim chim chiroo.
Yeah, I'm going to chimney this fucker.
Or not.
Not a great one. Rolls a 10. No, a 12 with the bonus.
A 12 is better than a 10, but it is not enough to hit.
Oh, well. I think this thing would be more grateful, really. Since it was dead and we woke it up, I would have thought that would be net positive.
Silas.
All right. Arrow of the Gods backs up. And then he will channel energy to damage undead.
Oh, okay.
So you get a will save.
It's a will save, okay.
I don't really like Will that much. Can we just say fuck him?
What's the DC?
14.
12. Does all not right, make the well, save.
And he takes 10 points of divine damage.
Ah, all right. The divine blast leaves the hand. The shadow is like, vampire daylight, that kind of thing. As it dissolves into ethereal mist. Everybody roll me perceptions.
We can adjust the fact that the Arrow of Gods has superpowers. I thought he was kind of a street level hero.
The Arrow of the Gods is embarrassingly overpowered.
True enough, junior adventurers. True enough.
I'm not a junior adventurer.
Fandango rolls an 18.
Klaus rolls a 3.
Arrow rolls an 8.
This is coming from a D20, right?
Brandon finally rolls an 18.
You saw what Brandon was getting on a D100.
All right, fair enough.
York rolls a natural 20.
Oh, okay. So everybody who beat 5, so that's everybody but Klaus.
Ouch.
You're closing your eyes and just trying to force your body to funnel more liquid into urine. But you,
come on, kiddies.
As the light flashes and the shadow kind of bursts away, you all notice the remaining torches sort of flicker as if like a big wind bursts through, and they grow a little dimmer for a minute, and when they do, the whole cavern just feels a lot more imposing and scary, and then they brighten back up, and it's back to normal. Bjorg, as the only person who got a natural 20, you think you hear something like a distant scratch coming from deep, deep beneath the tomb you're looking at. It's like way, way down, but as if something is trying to claw its way up.
The one that was opened?
The one that is opened.
Oh, okay. All right. Bjorg is going to look at his companions and go, "I don't think we're done with this one. There's a scratching noise coming from underneath the box."
Well, I am. I'm gonna.
We'll flip the box over and kill what's under it.
Where is the rusty dagger?
Fandango, there's words on the big box.
Okay. I got this.
The rusty dagger is inside the bottom of the coffin.
Well, yeah, maybe we should remove that. I'll pick up the rusty dagger.
Okay. You have a rusty dagger.
Okay. I put that in my inventory.
Ah, I should have traded it for your light stone. It's not really a fair trade.
So, we're out of initiative order now, right?
No.
Huh?
You are not out of initiative order.
Oh, God damn it.
He says menacingly.
Because we're not going to play that reroll. I mean, we'll stop acting in it for now, but if something happens, you're going to snap.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, should anything happen.
Yeah.
Fandango wants to go over here and try to read the words on the big tomb.
Okay. Are you taking the torch with you, or are you leaving it there?
I'll pick it up and carry it. That makes sense. Okay. I don't want to litter.
Tomb robbing is fine, but littering is wrong.
That's just shitty. Yeah,
see?
Yeah.
Mother Earth. Characters.
All right, so
global warming.
What flavor of knowledge or linguistics check should I roll for that?
What languages do you speak?
Common, Elvish, and the language of love.
You do not you do not speak the language that is on there.
The language of let's just be friends.
You may roll me a linguistics check, however, to try and discern what the language is.
All right, Fandango rolls a 17 for a linguistics check. Guys, this writing is abysmal. I don't know what the fuck. But whoever chiseled this in here was obviously, I don't know, Tourette's or Parkinson's or something. They couldn't chisel worth a shit. All right, let's try maybe a knowledge planes.
Okay.
Yeah, Fandango rolls an 11 for knowledge planes.
You know that Abyssal is the language of the pits. It is the language of devils, and yeah, that's what you get with an 11 knowledge of the planes.
So yeah, we're going straight to hell.
It's just like
Satan with bad handwriting.
Well, do we want to, you know, open the rest of them? Do we want to let the Arrow of the Gods open the rest of these?
Wait a second. Didn't you say there was scratching coming from the one we already opened?
I said there was scratching coming from deep, deep down beneath the one that is open.
Yeah, let's maybe try and knock these out one at a time and, you know.
Well,
What's the bottom of the box look like? Is there another hole in there, or is it just stone?
It's solid stone, and it is like bonded to the ground. Like, that's what I'm saying, is whatever's digging its way up is coming from deep, deep within.
Oh, we got plenty of time then.
All right,
Silas, roll me an intelligence check.
That should go badly.
I guess if you prefer, you can do knowledge religion because you are
17. 17.
Okay. As a paladin, you know that abyssal means devil, and devil means shit.
Yes.
If you would like to roll, with a 17, so you know that this is some dicey shit, and perhaps it might be worth doing another detect evil.
Corner of the room, and do a detect evil. And he will point out, to his juniors, if I were a paladin, which I am not, but I would know that abyssal is the language of foul evil, which tells me that whatever is here, we should fight and destroy.
Do paladins lie?
Well, he's not a paladin, so it doesn't matter.
I wouldn't know these things.
Huh.
Strange.
And then detectable.
Okay, I'm gonna roll an intelligence check to see if my character's figured out something that I guess should be really obvious.
Almost certainly not.
Yeah. While you do that, I will tell the Arrow of the Gods that he feels the same like dim echo of evil from all of the other smaller tombs. With the exception of the one that has been opened. From that, he senses a great, great concentration of darkness coming from just deep down. Like, you get the feeling you're only sensing, like, the tip of what's rising, and it is bad. And you also, from the big tomb, you feel more power coming now.
Yes, yeah. Rejoice, friends, for a monumental evil is coming to try to slay us.
I rolled a 15. I'm going to say we maybe fucked up a little bit here. What do you think we should put that torch back, light it, and go home?
Does my axe have any opinion on this?
Your axe is still an axe.
Okay.
Fandingo's good with the whole putting the torch back thing.
Here you go, Fandingo. I gave you control of it.
Click.
All right. As you set the torch back in, there's another small click. The minute you do, it bursts back into flame. The lid snaps shut. And I guess, do you guys want to do perception / detect evils?
I'll do another detect evil.
I'll do a perception.
Bjorg will do perception again.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll do a perception. Fandingo rolls a 28 for perception.
I'm not going to bother perceiving anything. Fandingo seems to be handling that. I already did some thinking, so.
Bjorg rolls a 12 this time.
Okay. And then Arrow of the Gods is doing it of the Detect Evil.
And Klaus is playing with his dick.
Klaus rolls a 3.
Klaus is just really like hunched over, veins throbbing in his head. More piss!
There's evil afoot. I need to extinguish it.
Yeah. So Klaus is really trying to will that piss along, but no one hears scratching. So you don't know if you don't hear it or if it's not there, but no one hears any more scratching. And Arrow of the Gods, when you detect evil again, it's back to the more subdued, weaker version that you sensed the first time in both the previously open tomb and the large tomb.
Well, maybe we should just knock out all the preliminary coffin monsters first and...
I have
some experience points and some rusty daggers.
I have a theory.
In the big tomb.
I have a theory that if we were to take off all of these torches, the great evil that Klaus and Klaus alone has to fight will show up, and, well, we can let destiny take its course.
That would be a great idea if we weren't trapped underground with Klaus and the great evil. But I know you're the heir of the gods and you're awesome, but I've been running with these idiots for a little longer. And if there's a way for us to get stuck in here, we'll find it.
And Dingo's right. We should find a way to get stuck in here, just so we know where it is.
Literally the opposite of what I was shooting for.
Brandon picks up the other torch.
What's the other? There's a bunch of torches.
The torch directly to the north of the torch. Well, I should probably point out for people listening, if you go to the YouTube, you can see this happening on the map. But the
you can
torch,
watch the stupid unfold.
Yeah, the torch directly to the north of the torch we just fucked with.
Good job, Junior Adventurer. And hold on, Klaus. Your horrible death is incoming.
All right, so Brandon Thighmaster, you want to pull a torch out?
Yeah.
Okay. Brandon Thighmaster pulls a torch out.
Well, that didn't trap us here. I guess,
again, yay me. The click, and it's kind of immediately, as soon as it's away, the torch like self-extinguishes.
I'll do a detect evil, see if anything's changed.
There is a lot more evil coming from the crypt right behind Brandon.
Why do I bother trying to protect these people?
You're not very bright.
Brandon has just popped a torch. He's holding it in his hand, and there's a crypt right in front of you.
Bjorg is going to look. Oh, never mind.
Maybe there's cool shit in there. Maybe there's not.
But these dead are grateful.
No, these dead are assholes.
Yeah.
These dead ain't loyal. But what would you like to do with your turn, Bjorg?
Bjorg is going to go over to the tomb that Brandon, that Brandon, can he hear any, can I do a perception check to see if he's hearing anything?
Yes. Roll me a perception.
All right, cool. I'm assuming nothing has risen from said crypt. All right, Bjorg rolls a 15.
Bjorg hears nothing.
Hmm.
Push on it, big guy. You got this. I got faith in you.
Yeah, this one might be cool.
All I wanted to know was what the words said. Fine. If you want to disturb the Grateful Dead, I will help you.
It's okay, man. Every single line has got a touch of gray.
All right, so be able to strength check.
Strength check.
All right. Bjorg rolls a 15.
That is enough. With the torch gone, there's no mechanism. You shoved that thing right open. And...
Oh, dear.
But before I can tell you what comes out of it, I have to tell you what's inside of it. So, why don't you give me a
D100?
All right. 62. Ooh, okay. Now we're in the fun stuff.
Great.
I think he might actually mean fun for us, fun for him and not
seven
the
and eight
listeners.
Rusty dagger.
Okay, so that got us onto this one. Okay, now roll me a D10.
Right. Two.
Ooh, okay. Well, this is getting interesting now. Roll me a D3.
Two.
Okay. Now roll me a D100.
All right. This is a great game of blackjack.
It is.
95.
Holy shit. Oh. That was a good time to get that one. All right. Last time.
All right.
Roll me a D100.
If he just, like, explodes at this or something, it'll be really
disappointing. 28.
28. Oh, okay. Bjorg, you find a quarterstaff.
Mm.
There are many tiny holes drilled in it. It seems hollow. But that is a concern for later, because as soon as you have popped it open, you see a shadow!
Oh, damn it!
Oh, and look, he's up in initiative.
Right.
So what is your AC without armor?
Without armor, it's going to be a 10, I think.
So you have no dex?
Hold on a second. Let me just double check that really quick. His dex is 10, so no dex.
Okay, no dex, so just a straight 10.
Yep.
All right, it slashes and you lose 2 strength.
Oh, Bjorg does not like that. He immediately rages.
All right.
I'll be getting that back.
Klaus.
Oh, Klaus will go save the day. Klaus attacks with his axe.
Alright.
Klaus rolls a 9.
Klaus does not hit.
Is Fandango still singing?
No, Fandango quit. He has to start again.
Whatever. 9 plus whatever probably still won't hit. No, okay, that's Klaus's turn.
Alright. And Fandango, it is your turn.
Fandango's going to bust into the White Snake classic. Here I go again on my own.
That might have helped 5 seconds ago. Thanks, buddy.
You could have played something by the Shadows, man.
It would not have.
So, yeah, we'll inspire courage.
All right, Brandon Thymaster.
Let's not overcomplicate this. I'm going to hit it with a broom.
Alrighty. You going to flurry of blows, or are you going to...
Yeah, I can flurry of blows with my broom. Not great. 14, a 12. Oh, no, it was great. I got a 22 on the last one.
Oh, the 22 will hit. Roll me a D100 and guess high or low.
Okay, I'm going to guess high. Oh, motherfucker. Yep. 2.
Wow.
You whip that broom through, and it just does not connect.
You've done 3 D100s and have not gotten over 8.
Yeah. Statistically, almost mocking me there, really.
It's the counterbalance for the perfect abs.
It can't have everything. Oh, well.
Arrow of the gods.
Well, shooting non-magical arrows these things doesn't really do anything, so I'll head up to the crypt and guard it in case anything comes out.
Alright, Heir of the Gods what? Has heroically run to another part of the battlefield where there's no conflict.
Thoughts and prayers.
Bjorg.
You take this lesser enemy, adventurers. I'll handle if anything comes here.
Oh, Bjorg is mad. He's going to take a swing with his magic sword. Let's see here. I think that's, yeah. 30!
Well, that hits no problem, but give me a D100 and guess high or low.
Alright, here we go.
Your time to shine.
High. 49.
Oh,
wow.
So close.
Missed it.
So you whoosh, but you whiff. It is the Shadow's turn, and I guess it'll just keep going after Bjorg, given its options.
I don't like this!
Oh, 2 more strength damage.
Oh, I'm losing my usefulness by every round.
Bjorg's Sorry. Mighty muscular frame is wilting. There. Brandon Thymaster, this thing can take muscle away. You know fear for the first time.
Oh, God.
Klaus!
Oh, it was my turn.
It is your turn.
Oh,
when nobody can hit anybody, it all just sort of goes quick.
All right, well, Klaus will swing with his axe. Whew, here we go. Somebody's going to save the day. Klaus rolls a natural 20.
Nice. Well, nice. You can't crit on them, but...
Oh, all right. Anyway, I also don't have to roll high or low, though.
No, you do not.
Klaus roll... damage is 5 plus whatever bonuses Fandango and the axe give me.
Indeed.
So 2 from Fandango.
You do a very good amount of damage. It's impossible to crit on undead, but...
Yeah,
do you feel
yeah.
like your axe is still channeling a little bit of that natural 20, but the shadow is still floating.
Yeah.
But you definitely did some damage to it.
Suck it, shadow.
Fandango.
How far could I move forward and still, like, shoot at it?
Whatever your movement speed is.
Okay. I can get to here then. Yeah. Fandango's going to move forward, pick his double-headed knife-flinging loot up over his head, and fire a dagger out of the ass of his loot at the shadow.
Okay.
Dagger out the ass.
Roll Word. An ass dagger check.
Dagger ass.
Or an ass dagger attack.
Dagger ass.
Ass dagger attack will be 21.
I mean, you're going to hit no matter what, but for future reference, it's a ranged attack, not a melee.
Oops.
So that's dex, not strength.
Said it would be better.
Yeah, but you hit on your roll alone, so you're good.
Yeah.
Okay, roll me a d100, guess high or low.
Guessing high. Booyah!
No, you Bendigo rolled a 100. A 100. You didn't roll a d100.
Shit.
Oh. Nice.
That's great.
That is some smooth shit right there.
If it had worked. And if I'd meant it.
I've done that by accident enough times myself.
So yeah, Fandango gets high and roll a 31.
Alright, your dagger flips through the air ineffectually, but you can keep playing, so that's helpful.
Yes.
Brandon.
Flurry of Brooms.
Flurry of Brooms.
Ooh, I got 12, a natural 1, and a 17.
Okay, well, roll me the D100 high or low.
Oh, shit, I forgot to guess. I'm going to guess, well, I'll guess high, seeing as my premature roll was high. 77.
Nice. Okay. You hit. You do 10 damage. Now roll me a d20 to make sure you don't hurt yourself. And the natural one. The broom is enough to destroy the shadow. It is poofed.
But I keep on going with the possibility of hurting myself.
you might just over flex the backswing.
He's doing that. He's doing that. Like twirl the bow staff thing in the air and just bashes himself in the face.
Guys, I can't stop. Roll a 10.
Oh, you're fine. You don't hurt yourself.
I meant to do that. It's fine.
Bjorg is going to reach in and grab the staff and hold it up. Okay. This staff has holes in it. I don't know how useful it is.
Ooh. Fandango awesome. Says, "Let me this see that thing. It might be a didgeridoo."
Would someone Does anyone have appraise as a trained skill?
I think I've got appraise as a monk. Let me check that.
I don't have it trained, but...
Yeah, I mean, I've got a 1 in it, but
hey,
it's better
than nothing,
I guess.
Give me an appraise check.
I've got 3 ranks in it.
Well, then you can
Brandon Firemaster rolls a 12.
Okay.
Plus Richter rolls a 17.
All right. Does anybody have any magical things they want to do, like detect magic, that sort of thing?
I have used a magic device.
Okay, so no.
I have detect magic. I will cast that.
Okay. You detect that it is magical.
What does my appraise tell me?
I'm about to tell you guys this much.
Oh, sorry. Well, tell me.
It is It's a hollow quarterstaff. You can tell when you pick it up, but it's still very sturdy. Like, even though it should be flimsy because it's hollow and there's holes in it, it is still very firm. When you kind of swing it, you can hear the wind whistle. Brandon, when you take it, you can kind of feel a connection to it slightly, in the way that you're like, this feels like when I'm putting key into myself, as if it could also hold key.
Brothers, I think this is a monk weapon. So I guess mine?
For praying?
No, I think for hitting.
May I test it?
Oh yeah, you both get, when you did your appraises, you both like felt it over and swung it. That's how you know it wind whistles. You didn't feel anything. You didn't feel any connection. Brandon is the only one who can wield key, so he's the only one who noticed that it sort of, you know, it's like a Bluetooth auto connecting. Like, okay, this pairs.
So Bjork picked it, so basically Brandon picked it up and heard like the Windows the Windows activation noise.
Yeah.
This just feels right, guys. I think I should probably have this magical stick.
Bjorg will hand it over. He's like, I have no use for a giant flute.
Cool.
I'm more strings than woodwinds.
A flute that apparently you can put your spirit through. That's weird.
When you guys find a no offense class real wizard, you can have it appraised and get all of the details about it. But with your appraise checks and your levels of magic, no one got the whole story.
Would I be able to attack with this and make any assumptions on?
Well, maybe try the next coffin.
Yeah, I guess. Well, I wasn't going to do that because it seems like suicidal, but now I want to test out this stick. So
yeah,
actually, what? As you guys are dicking around with that, Silas.
Right in the pooper.
You see? There we go. A much larger, denser, more wicked-looking shadow.
See? I told you I was protecting you.
And it comes right for you.
Wow, I'm really glad the arrow of the gods is all the way up there.
Yeah. It rolls a 30 and takes 2 more of your strength away. By the way, your strengths are not healing, so make sure you're keeping up with this as it goes.
Yep. Well, it looks like you're going to get to test your stick, Brandon.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, this thing is big and hulking and much scarier looking than the other ones you've messed with so far. I think it'll make a good challenge for us next time on Authors and Dragons.
Oh, shit.
But we're not done yet. As you know, we do a live blog and we take questions at facebook.com/authorsanddragons. And now we're going to answer some of them. Maybe all of them. All right. I haven't seen them. I don't know if they're all good.
I don't know. We had a bunch, didn't we?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got them up.
Yeah.
All right. So, our first question is from our friend Christopher. He says, is there a chance that you guys will be doing a con in Florida? What would it take for someone, and he also asked, this is to Christopher, he also asked, what would it take for someone, cough, Klaus, cough, to finally kill Silas, the mighty arrow of the gods that miraculously survived, of course?
I would just assume opportunity.
I'm not sure if that's supposed to be our kind of end game.
I enjoy Silas's existence. I mean, everybody needs someone to look down upon.
And steal from when he's not looking.
Yeah.
Bjorg is just...
Except he's never stolen. He's screwed up every steal attempt he's ever made.
That's true. Fandango did an excellent steal by convincing you to trust him with your money.
Bjorg is, you know...
That's still an option, though.
Bjorg is, like, you know, he's from the north where they have lots of violence and killing, but also more progressive healthcare. So, you know, he's just come to the conclusion that Silas is deeply mentally ill. And you know, you don't abuse people like that.
I feel like Klaus isn't going to actually try to kill Silas until he successfully pickpockets him, because at this point, if Silas dies, it's just a point of wounded pride. Klaus can never redeem himself.
I don't want to kill Silas. I enjoy. Yeah, I'm not the dick.
I want to fuck with him forever.
All right. There's always someone lower than me.
I don't think any of us have cons planned in Florida, with the possible exception of John. John?
I don't currently have any cons planned in Florida, but there's a spooky Empire Con every Halloween that looks interesting, and if any convention anywhere wants to cover our travel and hotel, we will fucking be there.
Yeah, 100%. That is very basically true. If you talk to your cons and they're willing to bring us out, shit, we'll go.
We will handle our own bar tab. Y'all just get us there.
I don't know much about cons, but if there's a con that wants me, you know, my wife wants me to take her to Florida, so there's that. Yeah,
convenient.
It's within driving distance.
Our second question, is also from our friend Chris. A different Chris. There are too many Chris's. We'll need to kill some of them.
Well, that's not really also then.
Shut up. So this just says, which of the other characters does the Arrow of the Gods consider to be his superhero sidekick, and does he have an arch enemy?
I think it's already actually answered on the page. You know, he kind of looks at Brandon as his like junior adventurer, like in training there. And like, you know, the Arrow has technically nothing against Klaus. You know, I mean, if Klaus had once inhabited his body, you know, that might have been something. But but he kind of like, you know, looks at Klaus as like verging on like, you know, the point of evil, and like, you know, and hey, if there was a, like, you know, kind of an excuse to have to like kill him, you know, he might consider like, you know, stepping over the line from Batman to Punisher, you know.
Let's see here. Okay, our friend Josh says, you've had guest GMs, but have you ever considered, or is it even possible to have guest players? And his second question is, he says, is there any chance Steve would be willing to call me a twat waffle? If he could do this on a mic in his accent, I think I'd be the envy of a certain Rick Galtieri Facebook page for quite a while.
Oh, of course, yeah, that's Rick's cult. Well, you guys say twat waffle. Where I come from, we say twat waffle, but...
Yeah.
Is that his name? Josh.
Josh, yeah.
Josh, you're a twat waffle. Or a twat waffle. Take your pick.
or maybe you're both.
What was the first part of the question?
Is it possible to have guest players?
Oh yeah. That's one we've talked about occasionally, but it's one we'd have to like really set up in advance, because it'd have to be in a situation where we could rotate them in and out within the story. So, you know, harder to do when you guys are in dungeons or on islands.
But once... You know,
or something where, like, they're guaranteed to die.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, it'd be kind of funny if we had them step in to play a random NPC.
Yeah.
But we do have a Patreon now, so the potential for us to... set that as a really expensive Patreon tier, not out of the question.
It's very true. And I believe when you're mentioning the Patreon, you could also mention that we just added some new content this week.
You okay there, buddy?
The mimic chest.
All right. Our next question is from our friend Fiona. And she has two questions for us. First one is a writing question. What is each of your favorite part? Each of us, what is your favorite part of world building? And game question: if your characters had to take a math test, how would they react? And she says Drew can answer for Gunther.
Gunther would try to smoke the test.
I'm pretty sure that's Fandango's answer.
Gunther would succeed in smoking the test.
Depending on the gender and attractiveness of the person giving the test, Fandango would either try to cheat or sleep with the administrator of the test, or both.
I'm pretty sure if Silas were to take the test, 1 plus 1 equals Toreg, 2 times like 5 equals Toreg, everything equals Toreg.
Except subtraction. Toreg is never a minus.
Nope.
I want to say that Bjorg would actually would be so utterly confused by the paper in front of him that he would just launch into successively less comprehensible or relevant questions as his kind of natural curiosity took over, and then eventually he would probably just smash the table.
I would assume that paper is going to be used for wiping ass and then getting set on fire.
Yes. It's okay. Very nice of you to write on my toilet paper.
What was the question?
How would your character react to a math test?
That was that one. And then there was another one, but I'll get to that when everyone has answered the
question. Klaus is intelligent. He'd do the math test. Yeah.
Brandon, I guess, is... I think he's probably the kind of guy who could work out your BMI just by looking at you. But for more mundane maths, I just don't think he'd be interested.
The first question was, what is each of your favorite parts of world building?
As writers,
yeah. Writing question.
Or God, you know, whichever, however you want to answer it.
God, that'd be a twist, wouldn't it, at this stage?
Oh, man. I don't know. I'll tell you my least favorite is keeping track of it all.
Yeah, I'm liking that. Yeah. Tracking continuity gets to be a pain the deeper you get into a series.
Oh, yeah.
No kidding.
I love fucking around with social systems. Like, you know, getting into the meat of how a society works and like, specifically, like, my favorite parts are, like, where are the failure points, where are the places where, you know, people are making each other miserable, and what are the things you have to knock over to make everything go to shit. That's one of my favorite parts.
I like coming up with, like, the relevant history, like, what recent developments... like in the past 100 years have brought my characters or have brought the world to the point where it is for my characters at that particular moment.
On the same, like, you know, vein of history, I like kind of making that alternate hidden history, especially like an urban fantasy world where, like, you know, what historical, like, you know, I guess, what items of historical significance actually happened in a different way, but we just don't know about it.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. I like putting a twist on the world. It's those places where the real world and the books intersect, but they're just a little off.
Yeah. I think, from my point of view, it's quite, I tend to get a bit hamstrung trying to think of the, particularly when you're making up a world entirely by systems of government and religions. And so I like to just try and keep it grounded from a character perspective. And I like taking, I guess, not realistic, but kind of down to earth characters and putting them in fantastical places and letting it roll.
All right. See here, our friend Cassie said, how do you guys get through writer's block?
No such thing.
I don't believe that. There is writer's block.
I think it's you know where you have to go, but you don't feel confident in how to get there. And, like, I don't know. I generally think of it more as a crisis of confidence than an actual block. You're like, oh, God, this is all shit.
That's absolutely what it is, but that doesn't mean it doesn't exist. I mean,
yeah, but then you just write through it and you go back and edit.
Yeah, absolutely.
See, I think my bigger problem is not writer's block, it's writer's malaise, just not wanting to do it. It's just waking up some days, sitting behind a computer and like, I'm going to start, and suddenly like something in the back of your head says, no, you're not. Why don't you just put on Steam and play a game?
I tend to go for walks a lot. I go and like change the context.
If I get stuck, I tend to look at some. I tend to back up and see where it went off the rails. I go back to my outline. I look at that, and it's pretty mechanical as far, you know, because if you're building a wall and all of a sudden you notice the wall's leaning, well, the wall didn't start off leaning, so where'd you fuck up? Mm. So I back up to the place where it was last unfucked, and I proceed with less fuckitude.
Less fuckitude.
Oh man, yeah. if I ever outlined, I might have less issues with writer's block. But
I've started outlining more. But like worst case scenario, I mean, if I ever run into like you know a chapter I absolutely can't get through, skip it and go ahead because you know something like. Writing a story from the end backwards, knowing where you're going, hindsight is 20/20. You know that fills in a lot of the blanks.
I have written a lot of stuff out of chronological order, specifically to get around some of those stalling problems.
Hmm. Yeah. See, that tends to be my problem as well. I'll know what I want to do with certain characters and certain scenes I want to write, but I'll get to a stage where I'll have, you know, I can see. I know where I am and I know where I'm going, but there's this bridge that needs to be built before I can get there. Yeah. And that tends to throw me off. So
tequila's good too.
Yeah. Yeah. No, actually, it does sound sad, but yeah. You know, have a nice quiet booze session, ruminate a bit.
Play some George Thorogood. I drink alone.
That is very, yeah. Okay, so our next question is from our friend Simon. Says, serious question for me for once. Would you guys ever consider participating in a 24-hour gaming marathon for charity purposes, even if you couldn't manage it for a full 24 hours?
As an old man who cannot stay up that late, I know I could not do full 24-hour, but I think I'd definitely be down for participating.
Yeah, I mean, I'd do a shift.
Yeah. Barring logistical issues, we had to fight some internet problems tonight, so
yeah,
assuming we could accommodate what the requirements were.
I can't drink for more than like 4 or 5 hours without dying, so
you lie.
I was about to say bullshit. Yeah. We've met you in person now.
Yeah. Yeah, and you will keep drinking after all the rest of us are long dead.
Fairly certain that Drew's liver has been long dead. He's the only one with a chance of keeping up with you.
It reanimates.
Obviously, charity's great, but I'd just be curious to see, like, what the fuck, how would happen after 10 hours of... I mean, we get pretty out there after about an hour or so. So, you know...
I don't know. I mean, like, we did, like, an hour's worth of content tonight. We opened two coffins. I mean... It can go either way.
Either a lot could happen or very, very little.
24 hours of gaming. I would not want a DM for that shift. I would roll in as a player for whatever was going on. But
that would be the place where we would sell 1 hour guest DM slots for a ridiculous donation to charity and get 24 of them, and they have to deal with us for 24 straight hours. It costs more the later we go.
Yeah. No. It costs less the later. I mean, because we're complete assholes by the end. I mean,
remember, that's what they like about us.
All right.
You know what? I think we could supplement that if we want to take breaks by selling time slots where you could take over our characters.
Get to about hour 12. It's like roll initiative. Don't tell me what to do.
Fuck you! Fuck you!
You think you're bad at me?
Okay, so Jono asks, this one's for Drew. How much detail do you put into the Roll 20 maps you guys use? Based on the context clues, it seems like you mess around with lighting and positioning. But how much do you do for backgrounds and all of that?
I actually do put backgrounds down. Sometimes I'll put in like trees or boulders to vary it up. I don't really mess with dynamic lighting that much. It doesn't come up as often, although I'll probably move to it now that we're sort of recording these for the YouTube so people can see the maps. I put in fundamentally just basic, like people need to be able to understand the map at a glance, to know where they are, to know where the enemy is. And as long as it fulfills that, then I'm pretty good. I've been doing this a long time. I know how shortly lived these maps are.
Yeah, just to reiterate, if I've done this right tonight, if you're somebody who follows the episodes on YouTube, you should be able to get a view of the map when it's pertinent.
All right, let's
keep an eye out for that.
Let's see here. Of course, we didn't get to ask two questions. Let's see here. Okay, so our last question of the night is from our friend Catherine, and she says, what is your favorite home-cooked meal? And I'm going to go out on a limb here and assume that if we answer well, maybe we will get to experience this meal.
Well, is she asking what it is? What's our favorite meal, to cook or to eat?
She says, what is your favorite home-cooked meal? So she does not specify.
I'm going to assume eat, right? Like
That's usually what that means.
Yeah.
I think it would be more interesting if I'd like to find out what you guys cook for yourselves. Because I know that my answer will probably be embarrassingly shameful.
Well, I actually cook a lot, so
yeah, ditto.
My favorite meal to make is homemade chicken soup.
Ooh.
It will take me on average 3 or 4 hours to make it. So
that's about on par with my chili recipe. It takes maybe about 3 or 4 hours to do, and that's probably my favorite thing to cook. No beans.
Yeah,
eating, I am a huge, huge, huge sucker for autumn comfort food, like baked mac and cheese or you know, a good beef stew is things I really like.
It was my mother's recipe, and now my sister's the one to make it. My sister's fried chicken and rice and gravy with homemade biscuits and butter. I'm a fat Southern guy, y'all. I mean, shit just doesn't get any better than that for me. And as far as stuff to make, I don't cook. Shit. Nobody wants to eat that.
I'll go with the kimchi jjigae my wife's mother makes after with the leftover pork from the previous night's samgyeopsal, Korean stuff. It's like bacon soup. It's in spicy sauce. It's beautiful.
Bacon soup.
So when I was in St. Louis last weekend, Superfan Joey came out and bought me booze. And he was talking about you talking about that dish. And he's like, man, I really want to try that now. And I said, yeah, good luck, bro. I'm not making it for you. Let's just have more beer. But yeah, that apparently resonated with people, Bevan.
When did I mention this before?
Last week when we were talking about
last episode.
Oh shit.
Yeah.
Well, all right, there you go.
Yeah. But
I'm not lying. That's good stuff.
My favorite to cook is a real easy one. It's chicken and 40 cloves. You just butcher a chicken down, roast it, and then you cook it with 40 cloves of garlic and some thyme and some olive oil. And it's great because not only is it delicious, but you get roasted garlic and you can siphon off the oil to turn it into garlic oil for like other recipes. But my favorite really homemade good. Dish to eat is shrimp stew. It takes goddamn forever to make because it's a dark roux, but it's so good.
Yeah, I don't do a lot of cooking at home because my wife basically won't let me. I generally do the basic kind of normal stuff for the kids, but I guess when I live by myself, what I like to do is make a spaghetti bolognese and then put it in a sandwich.
Oh, that actually sounds really good.
Yeah, well, pretty much anything. Make anything, then put it in a sandwich.
I'd
go with that because I was going to say my favorites to eat are probably a mix. My wife makes a really good big ziti, but it's like, you know, I'm a sucker for like for if somebody's grilling up burgers or hot dogs.
And that's it for questions.
Now I'm really hungry.
Yeah.
I have dinner to go to.
We're all going to
make a lasagna sandwich.
If you all out there listening, go get yourself a snack as well. Enjoy it. And we'll be back with more questions and shadow fighting in 2 weeks with Authors and Dragons. Bye.
Authors and Dragons is brought to you under a Creative Commons license, meaning you are free to share this material so long as credit is given to the original creators. Which is us, the people who are playing it. The opening music, Take a Chance, and closing theme, Master of the Feast, are both credited to Kevin McLeod of Incompetech.com and also used under a Creative Commons license.